This with me, so let's do it. The words will be up here on the screen too, so you won't get lost. All right. Yourself a hand. That's all right. Praise the Lord for that. We are going to look at something not totally related to communion, but we need to look at it. We have an annual meeting coming up. We're going to be electing two leaders in our deacon board. And, you know, last week we talked about Moses, and we talked about how he was a reluctant leader. And what I'd like to do is just take a moment, have a word of prayer, and then just really dig into this. So let's bow our heads. Father, we look at your word because it's truth. We look into your word because it has power. It says it's like, your word tells us it's like a sharp two-edged sword that cuts both down and back, that it divides and it works through the very confusion and the lies and the problems we may experience and encounter in our lives. And Lord, you peel it back and open up to the very heart of things. And I pray that as we look into your word, that we understand it, that we take it to heart, that we are serious about it as well. Lord, help us to understand this morning. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So last week, as I said, we looked at Moses, a reluctant leader, and God empowered him and made him quite the leader. 2 million people, that's just unbelievable. And he's spoken of by the people of Israel, the Jewish people, very highly. Even in spite of the problems and the errors and the issues in his personality and his characteristics. So, Henry Blackaby said the spiritual leader's task is to move people from where they are to where God wants them to be. That's really what Moses did, if we understand the story of Moses. He took them where they were, Egypt, and took them where they should be, at least to the border of the Promised Land, but got them through the wilderness. Larry Richards' book, The Theology of Church Leadership, and he was speaking about the biblical qualifications of leaders, and this is what he says. The emphasis is reflected in the passages of Scripture that give the qualifications for spiritual leadership. There is no mention here of seminary degrees or ordination. There is no mention of possession of this or that particular spiritual gift, or even a great public activity in various ministries. Instead, the spotlight is placed squarely on the characteristics of the leader. Simply put, those recognized as leaders in the body of Christ are to be those whose lives publicly and visibly provide a Christ-like example. Leaders are selected on the basis of the kind of model they are of what each Christian should become. In other words, it should be a demonstration. We should be able to see in that person's life a continual growth to become more like Christ. And that should be seen plainly. So the emphasis is placed on a person's relationship with God. There's several passages, actually two books in the Bible, and several passages within those on spiritual leadership. And I'd like us to go to them. The first one is in 1 Timothy 18:03 in your pew Bibles. 1 Timothy chapter 3. We've been actually studying this on Wednesday nights. So some of you have already seen these scriptural principles. But we're going to look at just a smattering of things and kind of encapsulate it as best as possible. There are two in these scriptures, the first thing that we see in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, it says, "Here is a trustworthy saying. If anyone sets his heart on being an overseer, a leader, or a shepherd, he desires a noble task." So it's a good thing to want it. It's a good thing to want to be a leader in the church. It's a good thing to want to be a leader in the community as well, because that's what you become. In fact, we're all leaders in some way or another. Maybe we're leaders in our own home, or we should be. We should be leaders to our children, should be examples to them at least
We may be leaders in the job place where we work, and people are watching us all the time. So we have examples to set. We do lead in many ways, but this is specifically talking about the overseer, the pastor, the shepherd, the deacons in the church. And he addresses that in this passage from verse 1 on. Well, Paul lists several musts in his list. It is not to exclude, but it's to be a cautious. In other words, it's not to exclude individuals from becoming leaders in the church, but it's to be cautious. Because it's not only to protect the church, verse 5, look at verse 5, it says, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? So it's not only to protect the church, but it's also to protect the individuals. In verse 6 and 7, it says, he must not be a recent convert, or he may become conceited, and fall under the same judgment as the devil. He must also have a good reputation with outsiders, so that he will not fall into disgrace and into the devil's trap. So, it's a protection not only for the church, but also for the individual. Thrusting an individual into leadership without them being ready or prepared is a devastation to the church. Because what will happen is they become conceited, they get arrogant, things happen, they aren't able to answer the questions or field what is necessary, they don't have the maturity, and it can destroy an individual. On the same hand, putting them in a place of leadership and them not being prepared can be a devastation to the church as well. Because people are watching. And they're watching in particular the leaders of the church and how they act and behave. And so it's a serious position that a person is placed into. So it's kind of like job requirements that are listed here in 1 Timothy, and Titus is the other book that we'll look at in a minute. It's sort of like job requirements, so that a person is working toward something that they know that there's a standard. In other words, if you go for a job and it says must be a high school graduate, well, okay, check mark that if you're a high school graduate. If it says that you need to be able to work well with people, then you either do or don't. Either can or can't work well with people. You know, if you need to work good with children, then that needs to be down as well. Work well with that child. No. Anyway, if you need to work, if you need to have musical abilities, you know, being able to play an instrument, if that prerequisite is on there, you need to be able to do that. And if you can't, what do? You might practice to get to where you can. And that's exactly what this is speaking about. It's a great thing to want to be a leader in the church, but be cautious and grow. And according to these scriptures, as it talks about, the overseer must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, temperate, self-controlled, respectable, hospitable, able to teach, not given to drunkenness, not violent, but gentle, not quarrelsome, not a lover of money, must manage his own family well. All those things are listed so that we can strive for those things. It's not to beat us on the back or on the back of the head and say, you'll never make that. It's to cause us to strive to be those things. And every individual, every man should strive to be that to his wife and children. And so that by being that in their own personal lives, they elevate to a position where they can take on leadership. Now, Titus also is the next book over, 18:15 in your pew Bible. I don't know if I gave the page number to 1 Timothy, but now you have Titus's page number, 18:15. Titus chapter 1 speaks about the same basic thing. And of course, Paul is writing this as well. So he lists most of the same thing, except he adds something else. Verse 9. It says in verse 9, he must hold firmly to the trustworthy message as it has been taught, so that he can encourage others by sound doctrine and refute those who oppose it. So a leader must know what they believe. You must know what you believe. I mean, this world is harsh for Christians. You know, nowadays, it's not just you know, people ignore you. Or, you know, back in the 50s and 60s, you know, people just expected you to go to church. Yes, everybody did. That's not the case today. You know, and back in those years when I was a child, now you know that I'm pretty old, but back in those years, in the 50s and 60s, you know, people were driving to church. It was a Sunday event. It was everybody packed up the kids in a car and you did something special, a picnic, or you went out to eat, depending on what you did, or you had a special meal at home, fried chicken or something, you know, really nice for a Sunday meal. And everybody gathered around the table and ate together and talked about the Bible and about church and about people. You know, what they wore and what they heard, you know, they did that too. You know, but it was this great event. But today, it's not the case. You go to people and you ask them, you go to church? No, I don't go to church. Well, why not? Well, it's not part of my life. You know, they weren't raised that way. We've lost things in the generations that have followed. And so a leader, all of us, need to really know what we believe. Because when we talk to somebody, they're going to ask questions. They're going to say, why do you go to church? Do you have an answer to that? You know, is it, and I hope it's not just, well, mom makes me come. Or because, you know, I've always done it all my life. Or, you know, it's just a habit. I just, you know. Or nothing else to do on Sunday. It's raining, can't go fishing. You know, what is the reason? And then when somebody says, well, have you read the Bible? Did you have an answer to that? You know, it's like, well, yeah, I've read parts of it, but I haven't read it all the way from page, you know, front to back. Maybe you should try that. Get on a schedule, start reading. In fact, it doesn't take very long if you read it the way I read it. One day I was a challenge, and read the Bible in a year, and I'm going, oh my gosh, how do you do that? You know, and so it was 10 chapters a day. 10 chapters a day. Doesn't matter what you're doing, 10 chapters a day. And just read them. 10 chapters a day. It's not that hard. And you do that. Some books are pretty small. Some you can read even more. You know, like Titus, you know, you could read Titus, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, you know, 1st and 2nd Peter. I mean, you could read all of those in one sitting. But if you set your mind on it, you'll do it. And then you can answer. And you can say, yeah, I read the whole Bible. And then they might say, do you believe it? And then you have to answer them. You have to know what you believe. And a leader must know what he believes and know the doctrine. It doesn't mean you have to be ordained. Doesn't mean you have to have a degree. Doesn't mean you have to have, you know, 50 million verses memorized. That's not the point. The point is knowing in your heart what you believe. There are always people who will challenge you on what you believe and why you do what you do. And so we have to have that answer. And more particularly, leaders must have that answer and be able to hold to those doctrines, sound doctrines, and refute those who oppose them. You know, we need to know those things. And so it's a growing process, obviously. I mean, we're not all at leadership capacity. You know, we're growing at different rates. We come to church and each time we come to church, we're growing a little more. We get to know a little bit more. I've had people come up to me at all different times and say, you know, I didn't know that about the Bible. Or I never read that scripture before. So we're all growing. But the goal is to become leaders. That's the goal. All of us, men, women, and children, we're all growing. Become leaders in your circle of influence. To be leaders. And Blackaby, interesting, he says this, you know, I'm going to close because we want to have communion too. But Blackaby says this. He says, spiritual leadership is not an occupation. It's not a job. You know, out in the world, we call it, we have jobs. But in the church, we don't have jobs. It's not an occupation. It's a calling. It's a calling. And so, search your hearts when you consider leadership as something that God is calling you to do. You can have all the answers, but that doesn't count if you don't have the calling. You could have the Bible memorized, but if you haven't been called, then it doesn't amount to anything. You know, and I know exactly what that, I didn't know that much about the Bible. I didn't have all the spiritual maturity that I needed to have when God called. But the calling was specific and real. And when He calls, then He provides you the education. He provides you the things that you need to do to gain strength and maturity in Christ. Well, we're going to go to communion. Again, if you're not a member of the church, it's fine. If you believe in Jesus, that's what counts. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior, then please participate with us in communion. It's a unique cup because it's all in one. We have bread and the juice in the one cup. We changed that quite a few years ago, and it works very well. And so you just peel that top off for the bread and peel the second part for the cup. But please join us if you believe in Jesus as your Savior, because it's in remembrance of Him. And so what I'd like to do is just have a word of prayer before we pass out the elements, and we'll talk a little bit more about that. So let's